Shavuos has many names. Atzeres, Zman Matan Torasenu, commemorating the event that we just read about in Parshas Yisro, when the Bnei Israel received the Torah at Har Sinai. Shavuos is also called Chag HaKatzir, a time in which we harvest our crops. And some actually explain that this is one of the connections between Zman Matan Torasenu, or Shavuos, and why we read about Megillas Rus, as it occurs specifically during the harvest season. It's interesting that when it comes to the Torah reading, we begin B'chodesh HaShlishi. Although it is found in Parshas Yisro, we seem to completely ignore the fact that this whole Parsha discusses a tremendous story of Moshe's father-in-law and everything that he did up until that point. And I believe there's a reason why we do not mention Yisro at all in our Torah reading. Upon further examination, we find another striking connection between the events recorded in Megillas Rus and an event that preceded the giving of the Torah. The pasuk that we do not begin with, but rather the pasuk V'chodesh HaShlishi, the next pasuk, is as follows: V'yishlach Moshe Eschosna, that Moshe Rabbeinu sent away his father-in-law Yisro. After helping Moshe, establishing a judicial system, helping him, providing the stress of his position to go away and subside, he was immediately sent away by Moshe, his son-in-law. Which is very strange. But nonetheless, if we think about it, we find a tremendous similarity. In Megillas Rus, we also have a story of in-laws. Naomi, who welcomes Rus with open arms into the Jewish heritage and her own Kabbalah HaTorah. One could look at this and ask, why do we find such incredible difference? That when it comes to one in-law, he's pushed away. He's sent out of the camp. And yet when it comes to another in-law, she's warmly embraced into the Jewish nation. One could look at this and say, you cannot possibly differentiate that one of them maybe acknowledged God's oneness and the other one did not. Because we know that Yisro also did. As he states, Atayadati ki gadol Hashem mikol ha'elkim. He acknowledges the oneness of Hashem. Yisro also was the in-law of the great leader Moshe Rabbeinu. If you would ask yourself, who do you think of the two would be accepted into this community of Klal Yisrael? You think it would be Yisro. On the other hand, Rus has no yichus, no pedigree. She did not come from a prominent background. You would certainly think that Yisro would be the one who was accepted and Rus rejected. To answer this question, I'd like to share with you an unbelievable Medrash Tanchuma. That without the words of this Medrash, it would be impossible to make such a statement. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, B'nei hayu mishubadim batit l'veinim. My children were enslaved in a very difficult country, Mitzrayim, and there they worked with cement and with bricks. V'yisro haya yoshe besoch beso b'sheket. Yisro was sitting in his home in silence. He did nothing when he saw that the Jewish people were suffering. He did not come to join them, and he certainly did not come to assist them. Uval liros v'simchas haTorah im b'ni. And now he comes to be able to rejoice with the Jewish people during their good times, when things are going well for them. Lekach says the Medrash, that is why V'yishlach Moshe Eschosna, I encouraged that Yisro should be sent away from the Jewish people, that he should not take part in the simcha, the joy of Kabbalah Satara. We see from this medrash that Yisro, a man of influence, made absolutely no effort to help the Jewish people when the cards were down, when things looked bleak. During the bad times, he was nowhere to be found, nowhere to be seen. But now when things are going well for the Jewish people, Kabbalah Satara, now you come. And this is what Rashi says. Vayishma Yisro, that Yisro heard something. And Rashi asks, what did he hear that forced him or caused him to wish to come? Says Rashi, Kriyas Yamsuf Umilchamas Amalek. He heard the tremendous miracles, the great things that were happening for the Jewish people. He looked at the Jewish people and said, wow, I see that they're so powerful. Now I'll join them. Now, but not before. Answers Hashem, you want to join the Jewish people only during the times of Simcha? No. If you're unwilling to be with the Bnei Israel in their times of need, in their times of trouble, then you will not be around with them when they're able to celebrate their times of joy. This is not the model that we need to follow, but rather that of Rus. This was not the case by Rus. When did she come? When did she join the Jewish nation? She joined them not when things were going well, but when things were also not so great by her. When there was a famine, she became a widow. Naomi herself had no more sons to give her. She had absolutely no ulterior motives for becoming a Jew. Nonetheless, she said, Ki el asher telchi elech, wherever you go, I'll go. V'asher talini olin, where you lodge, that's where I'll sleep. Amich ami, vilkayach elokai, your people are my people, and your God is my God. This is why Rus is accepted. Rus truly understands when we can be mekabel the Torah, in the good times and in the bad. Yisro, on the other hand, was sent away, for he did not understand this message. It's no coincidence that Megillas Rus is what is read specifically on Shavuos. Shavuos, which is called Zman Matan Torasenu. Because if we want to know what is a true Kabbalah Satara, we cannot look at Yisro, who only picks the good mitzvos, the easy ones, the things which are good and make you feel happy. But rather we have to follow the model of Rus, that no matter what throughout our lives, through the good times and the bad, that's a true Kabbalah Satara. And you can look at this and say, you know, some of the mitzvot are really easy and I enjoy doing them. But some of them are too hard for me to do. And this is a problem. We often would rather go to a wedding, to a simcha, to a happy occasion, than to have to make a shiva call, to go be mevakar chayla, to go to the hospital, to visit the sick. I feel too uncomfortable. I don't enjoy it. But sometimes we have to understand that life is not all about simcha. We have to accept the good times and the bad. And I believe this explains the Sifri. The Sifri says, toward the very end of the Torah and Parshas Zosav Racha, that the Pasuk says, V'yomer Hashem Sinai Ba, V'zorech Miser Lomo Yafia Mihon Paron, V'yosem Rivos Kodesh, Miamino Eish Das Lomo. That Hashem, he said, came from Sinai, having shown forth to them from Seir, having appeared from Mount Paran, and then approached with some of the holy myriads. From his right hand, he presented the fiery Torah to them, to the Bnei Israel. And the Sifri, which is brought down in Rashi, says that we, the Bnei Israel, did not initially receive the Torah. We were not the first nation to be asked, but rather, Vazarach Meseir Lomo, Sheposach Lomnei Seir, Shikablos HaTorah Velo Ratzu. Hashem went to these people and asked them, do they want the Torah? And they didn't accept it. Haifia Mihar Paran. And he went to the Bnei Shmuel and asked, do you wish to accept the Torah? Velo Ratzu. And they did not want. Explains the Sifri, what did Hashem ask these nations? He turned to a nation and said, do you want to accept the Torah? And they said, well, what's written in it? And he said, I'll tell you what's written in it. Don't steal. And they said, you know, that's the one thing that we love to do. We're a bunch of criminals. We're crooks. We can't possibly accept the Torah. He went to another nation. And they said, what's written in it? They said, don't murder. He said, well, we're a bunch of killers. We're a bunch of murderers. We can't accept this Torah. They finally went to the Bnei Israel. We said, Nasav Nishma. So, the big problem with this Sifri is it seems as though Hashem is not the greatest salesperson in the world. Because if He really wanted to sell the Torah to these nations, then why did He have to pick the one thing that they don't do? Why wouldn't it make more sense that Hashem should have introduced to them some easy mitzvos, like what's written in it? I'll tell you, Simchas Yom Tov. Let's say, oh, that's something we could do. Why did Hashem tell them the difficult mitzvos, the ones which they themselves could not handle? And I believe the answer to this question is because if a person would only accept the easy mitzvos, that's the message of Yisro. That's not a Kabbalah HaTorah. Kabbalah HaTorah is accepting all of the mitzvos, the ones you enjoy doing, and also the ones that are less enjoyable, the ones that are more difficult. It's a package deal that you have to accept the good with the bad. And therefore Hashem specifically said, I want you to be able to keep the ones that are the most difficult. And they said, we can't do it. And they said, well, in that case, the Torah is not for you. Because we must accept the Torah in this manner. But how often we gravitate towards simchas, to bar mitzvahs, to kiddushes, luncheons. We all love a good cholent. Or maybe today, a good piece of cheesecake. But that's not what the Torah is all about. That's not what life is all about. Instead, we must emulate the Rus model, not the Yisro model. And by doing so, we are promised, as it says in the Gemara Baba Basra, on Daf Samach Amid Beis, Kol Ha'es Avel Al Yerushalayim, Zoyche V'ra B'Simchasa. Anyone who mourns the destruction of Yerushalayim, they will merit to see the coming from the descendant of Rus, the coming of Mashiach ben David, b'mehera b'yameinu, speedily in our days.